Harmon Cox's grain mill, south of modern Ramsar, became a stopping point for soldiers on both sides of the American Revolution. It was a strategic location, being on the Hillsboro-Camden, South Carolina wagon road, near where that intersected the Salisbury-Cross Creek or Fayetteville Road and a ford over the Deep River. In July of 1780, Major General Baron DeKalb was moving with Maryland and Virginia regulars to relieve Continental forces besieged in Charleston when he learned the city had surrendered on May 12. With the advance of the British Army into North Carolina under Lieutenant General Lord Charles Cornwallis at the end of January 1781, pro-British partisans were emboldened to take action against their patriot neighbors. The dates covered on this page run from July 1780 to December 1781. Harmon Cox's mill was built around 1770 on Millstone Creek at the bottom of the slope to the right between the modern road and the river. His brothers William and Thomas had mills on the other side of the river. Harmon and his brothers were regulators, a group formed in the late 1760s to oppose what it saw as unfair taxation and corrupt practices by the colonial government. Harmon was the brother-in-law of Herman Husband, a famous supporter of the group. Regulators met briefly at the mill on Monday, May 30, 1768, but for unknown reasons they moved to Thomas's, where they issued another of their series of petitions to the governor. Cox joined them in 1771 to confront the royal governor near Burlington, expecting a negotiation. A Quaker, he probably did not fight at the ensuing Battle of Alamance that ended the War of Regulation, but his powder horn is on display at the Battlefield Visitor Center. A letter from the Times suggests his son may have fought and been captured, and then released on condition of Harmon turning himself in. Meanwhile, the governor sent wagons here to confiscate grain for the army. Cox was among those tried in Hillsboro, convicted and scheduled to be hung. Instead, he was spared at the hanging site and eventually pardoned in exchange for pledging allegiance to the king. Perhaps this pushed him back to his Quaker roots, as there is no record of him being active in the Revolution. But that oath could be why this became a center of a loyalist force later in the war. The Hillsboro-Camden Road passed uphill from the mill on the right, between the modern house and field behind, down to Buffalo Ford to the left. The Deep River is downhill behind the field, running right to left. Spreading up the slope from the left on Wednesday, July 19, 1780, are regular Continental Army troops setting up camp. Major General Baron Johann DeKalb has brought them here from downriver to resupply and collect any of the 200 or so troops who might have escaped the defeat in Charleston. Born to poor Bavarians, he had fought his way to a British command in the Seven Years' War. He then offered his services to the Continental Congress. DeKalb was over 6 feet tall, good-natured, intelligent, and absolutely fearless. His 1,500 men stretch from this point south along the road and river to Buffalo Ford. He makes the mill his headquarters. About a week later, another column appears from the right, by way of Hillsboro. However, these are part-time militia soldiers in everyday clothing, 1,400 Virginians. With them is Major General Horatio Gates, the self-proclaimed hero of the Battle of Saratoga in New York, in which the British Army surrendered. Gates is the new commander of the Southern Department of the Continental Army. The previous commander had surrendered in Charleston. One source says Gates is greeted with a salute from 8 cannons, despite limited gunpowder supplies. Gates informs DeKalb that he is relieved of command. The latter is in every sense relieved. Though a good military officer, as a foreigner, DeKalb is not well equipped for the politics that come with command of a Continental Army. The new forces stretch the camp further south, a mile beyond the ford. The next day, Gates, DeKalb, and the other officers hold a council of war to discuss next steps, probably in the mill. They know they need to confront the British in South Carolina, but the question is timing. Another 1,200 North Carolina militia are camped on the distant Yadkin River, and the cavalry is in Halifax getting reorganized. On the other hand, there is little food here. There was scarcely sufficient grain even for the immediate subsistence of the troops, and the only meat ration that could be procured was lean beef driven daily out of the woods and canebrakes where the cattle had wintered. A sergeant major wrote in his memoir, "What was procured after this manner could scarce keep the troops from starving, which occasioned a vast number of men to desert to the enemy." Gates also thinks he can catch the British off guard by moving quickly. Still, his officers are shocked when he orders them to prepare to march rather than at least wait for the other militia troops. The next day, you watch as they pack up camp and move away to the south to cross the ford. Unfortunately, without trained cavalry, Gates finds out too late that the British had ventured north from Charleston. The two armies literally stumble into each other just north of Camden, and on August 16, the Patriots suffer a disastrous defeat. Baron DeKalb pays for Gates' mistake with his life. Please scroll down to the audio clip under Fanning's Fort.